we're in Proverbs 2. We've taken a week off. Let's read Proverbs 2 in its entirety, and then we'll get into our verses for today. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. Here's what God would say to his church in this Sunday school hour. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and regret and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land. Those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Today, we'll focus on verses 9 through 15 as we've walked through verses 1 through 8 in earlier weeks during the Sunday school hour. But before we get to our verses proper, let's take a couple seconds just to review the ground that we've covered so far. One of the takeaways from the closing verses of Proverbs is ultimately you kind of get what you want in life. Those who fear God and desire to know him are given by God the wisdom and knowledge about him. But those who don't fear God and who don't want to get to know God experience a life without him. They reject wisdom's call, and eventually wisdom laughs. Because to reject wisdom's call is to walk the path of foolishness, which leads to destruction. That's Proverbs 1. But we get to Proverbs 2, and verses 1 through 5, those who listen to and pursue wisdom will come to understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. It's a unique cycle that starts with the fear of the Lord that encourages you to learn more about God. Then, as you learn more about God, your fear of the Lord is intensified. That intensified fear of the Lord leads to a deeper desire to know more about God. And so there's this continuous cycle of fearing God and desiring to know more about God. We talked about the fact that verses 1 through 5 present conditional promises that if you do this, then this will happen. In our case, if we listen to wisdom through those who fear God, through God's word and through wisdom's general call, then we grow in the understanding of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. This is the path or the journey of the growing believer. In modern times, we call this path, most times, discipleship. The process of setting out to get to know more about God through his word and through the counsel of wise people who fear God and have spent time navigating his word ahead of you. That's 1 through 5. Then in Proverbs 2:6-8, we see that wisdom begins with God and is given by God to those who fear him and pursue it. It's interesting, God is active in these verses, right? He stores up wisdom. He reserves wisdom for the upright. In antiquity, in Solomon's time, the upright would be those who feared God and allowed that fear of God to inform how they navigated day-to-day life. Again, so far in Proverbs, we've talked about navigating life with righteousness, justice, with equity, right? Choosing to handle people the way God would have for his people to handle those who bear his image and live in his creation. So God stores up wisdom for the upright. For us, the upright are those who believe in the Lord Jesus. Not necessarily everybody who attends church on Sunday morning, right? And this is a true reality. To be a churchgoer is not to inherently be a believer in the Lord Jesus. There are people who will not go to heaven, who will not spend eternity with God, who were church members. They did not trust the Lord in their hearts. And the fruit of it, one of the fruits of it, is seen in how they handle people. Right? If you've been in church any amount of time, you've navigated church members who had no concern for righteousness, justice, or equity. They had no regard for God, let alone fear of him, but they were still in the room, right? Wisdom is not just for people, God's wisdom is not just for people whose name is on the roll at a church. It's for those who fear God, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That they believe that God is the righteous judge who will hold sinful humanity accountable, and that his son and his son's sacrificial death is the only way to avoid that wrath. But those who see Jesus as a golden ticket are not those who receive wisdom from God. Pastor Jeff, you want to jump in? Okay. So God stores up wisdom for the upright, but God also guards the paths of justice and watches over the way of his saints. This means that those who fear God, those who hope to live and navigate people and decisions in the fear of God, are not left to the task alone. I believe that Jude 1:24 amplifies this reality for us in the New Testament. Can somebody do me a favor? Pull up Jude 1:24.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy.
The God who guards the paths of justice and watches over the way of his saints is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless, blameless, and it's his joy to do so. I think it's interesting that what's recommended as a reason to trust God in our Old Testament passage, the fact that God watches the way of his saints, is reason to praise God in the New Testament, right? Because at some point, as you walk the path of wisdom, as you grow in discipleship, you ought to grow past the conversation of trust and move into the space of celebration because you are trusting, right? But it's very interesting that what Solomon recommends here is reason to trust God. In the New Testament, in Jude, is reason to praise God. He who watches the path of his saints doesn't just do so in time, but he does it with the goal of bringing us from time to eternity with himself. That, friends, is a great reason to fear and trust this God. The journey of wisdom is not just about our pursuit. It's about God's preservation. Now we get to verses 9 through 15, and they show us the fruit that comes from receiving wisdom from God. Let's read them real quick. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. That's our section for today. According to verse 9, what is the fruit of seeking and receiving wisdom from God?
What he promised back in chapter 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that? One, three. So the Proverbs are to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity. And now he says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path.
Right.
So it's the He promised it up front. That's what this was going to be about. And now he's like, if you fear the Lord, and if you give your ear to wisdom, this will be the, you know, this will be the result.
Mm-hmm. So the fruit of seeking, fearing God and seeking wisdom is God's brand of moral clarity and direction. Why do I say specifically God's brand of moral clarity and direction? Because the world will give you another moral brand of clarity. Yeah. Right? And the world's version of moral clarity is foolishness to God. It's wickedness, it's evil, and it leads to destruction. But when you fear God and seek wisdom, what you get in return is understanding of righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. God equips you to navigate people and decisions in ways that honor him. That's verse 9. Verse 10 tells us that the fruit seen in verse 9 is possible because God's wisdom makes a home in the heart of those who seek it. Take 2 minutes to skim verses 10 through 11. And then tell me, how does Solomon describe this process? of God's wisdom making a home in the heart of those who seek it? What does that look like? So, one of the, I'm sorry, this hasn't been 2 minutes. Alrighty, I think that's our time. Anybody want to jump in? Let's navigate this together. Nobody has to have the whole answer. But how does Solomon describe the process of wisdom taking up residence in our hearts?
Psalms 119, we read, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Hearing and listening to the word and obeying it and letting it absorb our entire being, we learn what God, who God is, mm-hmm. we learn his character, and we learn how we should be walking mm-hmm. in his way. And if we are obedient to his word, then that knowledge... A life lived in God's will is much more pleasant mm-hmm. than to live in the world, like the world. It's much mm-hmm. more pleasant. Okay, I'll shut up there.
No, I appreciate the interaction. I think that is a great verse to go to give us another picture of what Solomon is getting at, because it talks about this delight or this pleasure, right? And you even bring up the fact that once you get to know God and you fear God and you learn his word, it becomes a pleasurable thing to learn more of God. And that's exactly what we see in the B portion of verse 10, right? When wisdom comes into your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. This is interesting because Proverbs 1:7 says that the exact opposite is true for fools, right? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Fools despise, was it wisdom and correction? Instruction. Instruction and correction, right? So the fear of the Lord produces in the heart of the believer a delight, a joy in knowing more of God. But for those who don't fear God, that same thing is nowhere near a delight. And we'll see that in our later verses. What else happens? Not only does learning more of God become a joy.
I just want to park where you were at for 1 second. It's interesting. We can kind of like detach wisdom from what the rest of ourselves need. Mm. What I'm trying to say is, like, sometimes, like, I'll think of wisdom in terms of, like, oh, well, I've got to talk to Becky about this thing, and I want to do it in the right way, and have the right words, and blah, 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 and just, but it's really like a means to an end. I just want to get through that conversation
thing.
Mm-hmm. So I don't mess anything up, or what, like, we can kind of do it that way. But here we see not only verse 9, does God help us navigate, you know, righteously and with justice and equity, every good path. But He gives us wisdom in our heart so we know how to live for him. Mm-hmm. But we come to find out that it produces a great joy in us also. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, oh, I got to get through this day. Mm-hmm. But rather like, I get to live for God in this and experience like the reason I was born.
So ultimately, the fear of God produces delight.
Yeah.
Which is something that we wouldn't think fear produces, right?
But it's not divorced from wisdom, mm-hmm. prudence, all these mm-hmm. other, you know, great benefits. So it's kind of interesting to think. I don't often think in terms of wisdom and joy overlapping.
Mm.
That's not natural for my mind to think that way, but I think it should be.
Yeah, honestly, that's not a natural way I see wisdom and joy, and maybe not for other people in the room, but God's word is calling us to see them as more intertwined and more related, really, than life has taught us to. So let's praise God for clarity as we study his word, right?
Yep.
Jesus talks about joy. He talks about his joy, but he says, I come that you might have joy, that your joy might be full, that your joy might be more abundant.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is our joy.
Mm-hmm. And according to 1 Corinthians, he is the power and wisdom of God. So you have the wisdom of God in Christ saying, I came that you may have joy. Dan, were you about to contribute?
Yeah, I was thinking about the wisdom and the joy. And I mean, I know it's poetry, so we like to repeat things. But mm-hmm. just the fact that we learn righteousness and justice and equity and every good path, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just like, if you do this, then at least you'll not be breaking rules anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, justice is part of it. It's also the righteous, like the right response to God and mm-hmm. the covenant. Mm-hmm. You got justice, which is primarily law focused. Mm-hmm. You got equity, which is primarily others focused. I mean, there's a big overlap in the middle of the Venn diagram. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the all encompassing and all every good path.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like those things now, having the whole life that is devoted to God, devoted to wisdom, is bringing joy. Where, yeah, it's just reschedule an annual checkup because I know the wisdom of my doctor is not going to produce joy right now. I'm like, let me get a few months head start because I know what to eat and I know high blood pressure is not cardio. And so let me fix some things so that wisdom becomes joy. Mm-hmm. And God says, no, it's going to be that way. It's not like, this is going to be drudgery,
mm-hmm.
but do it anyways because it's good for you. It's the, when your whole life is oriented towards God and his ways, when you're thinking legally, covenantally, community, it's joyful.
Mm-hmm. Because the goal for Solomon and God's goal through Solomon is to show us how to navigate life in the way that God would have us to. So this is people, this is decisions, and this is how you interact with God himself. This is the whole of what Solomon is getting at in Proverbs, because again, this is a father writing to a son, trying to give him wisdom to navigate life. And this wisdom has to encompass all of the facets of life, right? So how you follow the law, how you treat people, how you respond to God, righteousness, justice, equity, right? All of the decisions we make need to be rooted in and informed by our fear of God. And the truth of the matter is, whether we consciously make that decision or not, everybody's decision-making process is rooted in how much they fear God. The person who chooses not to say something mean in response, the person who chooses to hurt somebody, the person who seeks peace, the person who commits violence, All of these acts are based off how we view God. And this is what Solomon is trying to get us to see. But not only does wisdom become joyful or pleasant to the soul, something else happens when we look at verse 11. Discretion watches over us, and understanding guards us. This is a poetic way of saying that when you fear God and seek wisdom, and God gives it to you, He does it in a way that both leads and protects. Right? And this is, again, how we see God guarding the path of righteousness and watching the way of His saints. Through wisdom, God leads and protects those who fear Him and seek the wise way forward. So that's verses 10 through 11. We've got some time left. Let's jump into verse 12. According to verse 12, what does wisdom coming into our hearts accomplish in day-to-day life? Keeps us from evil, protects us from ungodly people, right? Now, question, is this verse saying that if you fear God and seek wisdom, you'll never have to interact or navigate life around evil people? Is that what this is promising?
No.
So what could it be promising?
Protect us.
Right? Protection that, like we saw in Joseph's story, and I don't want to get ahead of Pastor's sermon series too much, but I hope all of us know how Genesis ends. And what's one of the major hallmarks from Joseph's story, right? That you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, right? Joseph is one of the biblical characters who you really see the fear of the Lord inform his life and his decisions. And you see people commit evil against him at the beginning of his story, but all the way through the rest of his story, you see God weaving these things. And there are some other pit stops with negative people. And God eventually uses all of these things not just to bless Joseph, but to do great things for the world, right? Because God guarded his path. Because God protected him from the evil people. Not that they weren't able to put him in the pit. Not that he didn't end up in prison. But ultimately, when his story is told, the pit nor the prison was his end destination. But he makes it all the way to Pharaoh's house, second in command over the nation, and God uses it to save the lives of the many, because God is able to protect his people who fear him and seek wisdom from the evildoer, right? Wisdom doesn't just guide us, it rescues us. Not only from their attempts, but also from their enticements. We look back at Proverbs 1, it's a strong warning not to heed the invitation of the evildoer, not to walk the path of evil with them before, because that path leads to destruction. Why does the person who fears God ultimately not walk that path? How are they able to not respond to that invitation? because wisdom is keeping them from that person's enticement, from that person's path, and if necessary, ultimately from that person's actions. Because this is how God works with those who fear him and allow that fear to inform how they live their lives. So the first part of this proverb has spent a lot amount of time talking about what it looks like to pursue wisdom, to fear God and live accordingly. Verses 13 describe 13 through 15 describe people who live in the opposite way. What does that look like according to these verses? So it looks the exact opposite of what we've been called to pursue in the top part of Proverbs 2. And it looks exactly like what we've been recommended not to pursue on the bottom half of Proverbs 1, right? They have perverted speech. They forsake the path of uprightness. They choose to walk in darkness. They rejoice in doing evil, and they delight in perverseness. Those are all action statements. The path of evil is not passive, right? All of these verses point to willing corruption. That these are desires, that these are things that are in the same way those who fear God delight in learning more about God. Those who don't fear God delight in doing evil. They delight in perverseness. So to reject wisdom's call, to not fear God, is ultimately to walk a path that is the direct opposite of what God would have for humanity to do. And this is not just the problem of sin, it's the reality of sin, and there is a destination for it. Proverbs 1 is clear, Proverbs 2 is clear, the whole of Scripture is clear. Those who do not fear God, those who do not pursue wisdom, those who do not believe in his son, right, are walking the path of destruction. May we be kept by his spirit. May we be faithful enough to tell the people we come into contact with that there is a wise way forward, and it starts with trusting Jesus.